pass on Antetokounmpo.
The Bucks game is over. And now, it's time for the longest-running Pro Hoops post-game show in Milwaukee. Hear from the players.
The most important thing, we trust one another. What happened, we trust one another, and that's why we came up with the win.
The head coach.
We're just going to have to be more disciplined. He's going to have to be more disciplined.
And the fans.
We have some talented players, no doubt about that. But at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to compete at this level of the NBA with what we have going on.
This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops post-game show. Presented by Palermo Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza. Now, here's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Hey, hey, hey! Bucks with a win, 104-99 over the Toronto Raptors tonight. Bucks get it done, and what might be an Eastern Conference Finals preview. Oh, damn! Mayor Mitch! Huh? How about those apples? Now, this is a game in which this should be played. That was a Raptors team at full strength. Had Kawhi, had Lowry, Green, their bench. Van Vliet obviously was out there and playing. He's going to be a problem. They didn't face Van Vliet the last time they played Toronto or Leonard. So those guys were both out there as well. So that was something else that they didn't have the last time they played them. OG wasn't out there the last time the Bucks played the Raptors. Raptors pretty much at full strength. Bucks, not really. Because if you think about it, George Hill, obviously not ready, showed up this morning or whatever, or late last night. So he wasn't obviously ready to play. Jason Smith just got there, so he probably isn't ready to play either. So they were short a little depth that they will have when George Hill is ready to go. I'm not sure how much Jason Smith will play, but I would think some because he fits what they want. Big that can shoot the three. But that was an impressive win. Very, very impressive win. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. The Bucks win 104-99. Let's not waste any time, and let's go inside the box score.
How did tonight's game add up? Let's go inside the box score. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video, home entertainment and commercial audio video. Simply done right. ABCAudioVideo.com. This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show, presented by Palermo Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza.
$104.99 bucks over the Raptors. Giannis tonight, 37 minutes, 8 of 5, 15 from the floor, 1 of 3 from 3, 2 of 3 from the line. We're going to talk a little bit about Giannis in the end of the game there. 19 points, 19 rebounds, 6 assists, no steals, a block, only 2 turnovers. For me, when I look at Giannis's box score each and every night when we do this show, I look at turnovers immediately. That's the first thing I look at because there are games where he's going to turn it over a lot. You're like, man, just cut down on that and watch out. And he has been getting better at cutting down on those turnovers. Chris Middleton continuing to frustrate the fan base. 3 of 9 from the floor, 2 of 5 from 3, 2 of 3 from the line, 10 points, 9 boards, 5 assists, a steal, 5 turnovers. Brooke Lopez tonight, 33 minutes, 7 of 13 from the floor. Splash Mountain was in full effect, 5 of 8 from 3-point range. 19 points. Traditional Brooke Lopez had only 1 board in 33 minutes. 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, and only 1 turnover. Eric Bledsoe played 33 minutes on his 29th birthday, 4 of 14 from the floor, 0 of 4 from 3, 1 of 1 from the line, 9 points, 2 boards, 5 assists, no blocks, and 1 turnover. Malcolm Brogdon was truly the president tonight for the Milwaukee Bucks late. 32 minutes, 7 of 15 from the floor. Two of the three threes he hit tonight were huge down the stretch. He was 3 of 5 overall from downtown, 1 of 1 from the free throw line, 18 points, 2 boards, 2 assists, and 1 steal. Off the bench tonight, 22 minutes for Sterling Brown, 2 of 6 from the floor, 1 of 3 from 3-point range, 0 of 0 from the line. 5 points, 7 boards, 1 assist, 1 block, no turnovers for Sterling Brown. 20 minutes for Tony Snell, 3 of 8, 1 of 5 from long range, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, 10 points, 1 board, 1 assist. 17 minutes for Ersan, 1 of 3 from the floor, 1 of 2 from 3-point range for him, 6 of 6 from the line, 9 points, 2 boards, 1 steal, and 1 blocked shot. Thon Maker, 8 minutes, 1 of 2 from the floor, 1 of 2 from 3, 2 of 2 from the line. He had 5 points, 2 boards, but 3 big block shots for them, and 1 turnover. And then, of course, there was Pat Connaughton, who played in the first half, didn't see the floor in the second half, 0 of 2 from 3-point range for him, and 1 steal. The Bucks, 36 of 87, good for 41.4%, nothing special there. 41.5% on 94 shots by the Toronto Raptors. 15 of 39 for the Bucks, shooting 38.5% from 3. The Toronto Raptors, 15 of 44, good for 34.1%. Free throw, 17 of 20 at the free throw line for the Bucks, 85%, only 6 of 7 for the Toronto Raptors. At the line, last couple of games, Bucks not putting the other team on the free throw line. That is a good sign. Rebounds dead even at 45 apiece. Assists 24-22, Toronto advantage there. Block shots 10-7, Toronto advantage there. Turnovers 11 apiece as the Bucks win 104-99. And it had a little bit of a feel of a playoff game. It was a back and forth game throughout. Each team would make a run, the other team would respond with its own run. And the game never felt over. Even when they were up by, 9, 11 points there in the fourth, you still felt like they were still not necessarily having this one in the bank and drawing interest, as Ted Davis would say. And then sure enough, here comes Toronto and they make their run. And now all of a sudden, it comes down to everything at the end. Malcolm Brogdon hits 2 huge threes. Giannis has a dunk. Baseline dunk because OG lost him.
We're still trying to figure out what happened there.
He just lost him.
We'll take it.
He dove back at him. Two guys went for Bledsoe, and then he had to dive back for Giannis. That whole thing made no sense. But the Bucks get the win 104-99, and this is a huge victory, I think, for the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't know if you guys had a chance the other night because we didn't play it on the postgame show, but Steve Kerr's comments after that game against Golden State, talking about when they face teams that they think they might face in the postseason, they tend to get up more for those games than others. And he said they may face this team in the postseason, that being the Milwaukee Bucks. When I saw that quote, I about fell off my chair. Because he's pretty much saying that, hey, look, this could be the NBA Finals team right here. This could be that team that could be in the NBA Finals is this Milwaukee Bucks team. Then, during this basketball game on Fox Sports Wisconsin and Pashke and Novak, they're discussing the trade. 3-team trade with the Bucks. And they're discussing all the money that they're going to save. And within the discussion of all the money they're going to save, they start having the discussion of, well, it's a good thing they're saving all this money because they can put it back into the core of this basketball team. Meaning, obviously, Middleton and Bledsoe and Brogdon would be your guess going forward. And that they think that this team is good enough to, you know, be that team to win an NBA championship with. That the core around them is good enough. Meaning Bledsoe, Brogdon, Middleton. Those three guys around Giannis, good enough to win an NBA championship. And you beat the best team in the Eastern Conference tonight. This is going to be your competition in a playoff series. This is going to be your competition in the Eastern Conference Finals, providing both teams hold serve and the Celtics don't creep up and back into this thing and overtake one of them for seeding. But if it maintains being a 1-2 seed scenario, you'll see these guys in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then you could start talking about a real possibility of being in the NBA Finals. Before we get that far, you first have to win a series in the playoffs because you haven't done that forever. I am, I guess, kind of taken aback a little bit by Kerr's comments. Even more taken aback by Pashke and Novak talking about this money saved is going to be money they can use to go put back into this team. And that they think this team, the core, can win an NBA championship with what they have currently. I guess I don't think I'm there. Maybe I will be at some point. I just don't know if I buy into Bledsoe, Middleton, Brogdon, and Giannis being good enough to win an NBA championship. Are they good enough to get out of the East? I still think Boston's going to be the team that you're going to have to deal with. But I mean, watching them play Toronto, I would say yes. Now, again, remember, Kyle Lowry didn't do anything tonight. Kyle Lowry,
he didn't make a shot, I don't believe.
Only 3-point shots attempted, 0 of 5. Did not score. Now, to that point, Bledsoe didn't do much himself. He was 4 of 14, 0 of 4 from 3. So, both those guys really didn't do much. The other thing, Ibaka does what Ibaka does against the Bucks: score. 22 and 6 for Ibaka. 20 and 8 and 4 assists for Kawhi Leonard. He did have a great game.
Ibaka took 21 shots. Yep. I mean, that's
more than anybody else. 18
I mean, he was
for
wide
Leonard.
Open. He was wide open on. I mean, they were running that pick and roll with Kawhi and Ibaka, and the Bucks were kind of committing to doubling Kawhi, and then here comes Ibaka wide open every time.
Well, and Ibaka just drives me nuts because he is a Bucks killer, has been a Bucks killer for quite a while, and especially since he got Toronto. To Toronto, he's been a Bucks killer.
Who else is? CJ Miles. That dude.
That's another one.
Now, the last few years, since he's been a pretty deep bench guy for the Raptors, he hasn't really, you don't notice it as much, but man, that dude's had some games against the Bucks. And then now you're going to have to deal with Fred VanVleet.
Right. Yep, Fred VanVleet's another one, and he's young. He's going to be around for a while.
I mocked Raptors fans after the Bucks beat them here. Oh, we don't have Fred VanVleet. It's like, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
And that dude's he's good. He's clutch.
All right, so this is my question. Do you view, and I know who I'm talking to. I know I'm talking to the Bucks fan base tonight at 7:30 on a Sunday night after a Packers roll-out-the-helmets game for the most part. I mean, technically, by the definition of roll-out-your-helmet, 17-point victory, they didn't technically do that, but it was a garbage points at the end for Atlanta. But roll out your helmets, really victory for the Packers over the Falcons. The Bucks take care of the best team in the East currently. Having said all of this, do you think, or do you consider, not even do you think, do you consider the Bucks the team to beat in the Eastern Conference after this win tonight? Do you consider the Bucks the team to beat in the East after tonight's victory? 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM. The fan will take a quick timeout. Come back with your calls and tweets. Ooh, a little celebration on the way out. Mary Mitch is in a good mood, folks. I'm telling you, he is in a good mood. Yes, he is. When Milton turned that ball over late, he took off his hat and threw it against the wall. Oh, is he mad at Chris Middleton? But everything turned out all right, and Mayor Mitch will survive another game without having a heart attack.
Yep.
Always good. All right, talk to you after this.
Come on, let's celebrate.
This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. Let's get tonight's shot of the game. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You doing 104.99 your Milwaukee Bucks over those Toronto Raptors. The Bucks now 17 and 8, now 500 on the road. That's all you want to be, 5-5 on the road. I'm happy. The Toronto Raptors 21 and 7, 11 and 4 at home are the Toronto Raptors. Even more impressive that you beat them at their house and they were at full strength, and like I said, you really weren't, because you're going to be much better the next time you see these guys, which will probably be in the playoffs, when you have George Hill and some of these other guys to deal with. You're going to have George Lopez going ahead in that game. And actually, the next game is January 5th at home against the Raptors. And then game 4 is January 31st, and then you're done. So you won't see them again after January 31st. So you'll go through February, March, April. And if you see them, if everything holds, you won't see them until middle of May or so. But two more games still against the Raptors. Next one, January 5th at home. And you would assume by that time, well, I'm pretty positive, unless injuries occur, George Hill and Jason Smith will be integrated into this team as much as they're going to be. And then we'll see what Toronto looks like, because I think George Hill is going to take some of Sterling Brown's minutes, all of Pat Connaughton's minutes, is my guess. The $9 million man's going to play, or however much money they're paying Tony Snell. Is it that much, or is it more than that?
I think it's a little bit more than that, but it's double digits for sure.
It's so depressing.
It's I think it's 10-something.
I'm just going to look it up. But Tony Snell, $11.5 million
a year. Wow.
Yeah, he's making 10.6 this year, but the average salary over 4 years is that. And they have him next year guaranteed. And then 2020 is a player option, which he's going to pick up for $12 million. So you can guarantee yourself that right now. So he's going to take some of Brown's minutes. He's going to take all of Connaughton's minutes more than likely. And he's going to be that guy that's going to rotate in with Bledsoe and Brogdon. So that's going to be different the next time they see the Toronto Raptors on January 5th, which is good. All right, shot of the game. Let's talk about El Presidente.
Yes, sir. Malcolm Brogdon, after some great Bucks ball movement there, he hits a three to give him a 100-97 lead.
Tim Lopez. Excellent ball movement by Milwaukee. Another three, Brogdon. 100-97 back-to-back triples for Malcolm.
Huge shot there by Malcolm Brogdon. Two shots, really, by Malcolm Brogdon. And again, this is a guy they're going to have to make a decision on him, too, as far as how much they want to pay him going forward. With his Milwaukee Bucks team, especially if you plan on bringing back Eric Bledsoe. You feel comfortable winning an NBA championship with Bledsoe and Brogdon as your starting backcourt? You think that can happen, Mayor Mitch?
Winning a championship?
With those two guys,
you know, probably not. I've always said Malcolm Brogdon is a better combo guard off the bench, probably.
I just don't know if you can win with these without a true shooting guard back there. I have my doubts. But, you know, we'll see.
Could have got J.R. Smith back in that trade.
Absolutely not. Nope.
I thought of that. At least that didn't happen.
Nope. Definitely did not want that to occur. All right. So do you think the Bucks are now the favorite in the Eastern Conference? You view them that way. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1057FM, the fan, that highlight courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. Where to first, Mitch?
Northside and Lamont. You're up first on the fan. What's up, Lamont?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing good.
Hey, great win tonight. However, I don't think the Bucks are this. I still think it's Toronto, and that's today, though. You know, by the time we get, you know, maybe All-Star break toward the end of the season playoffs, I think it will be the Bucks. But right now, I think, you know, the Bucks competed hard. You know, they had, you know, the ball bounced their way a lot of the times when they needed it to, but I think the Bucks are up by 8 or 9 points, and Toronto came roaring back. You just tell they turned the intensity up, and that's what I want to see the Bucks do. You know what I mean? So right now, today, Sunday evening, I say it's still Toronto, but that's going to change.
All right. Let me ask you this, Lamont, before you go. If you were in charge of this Bucks team, if you were Wesley Edens, the owner of this team or whatever, what would you want still – to finish this team off between now and the trade deadline?
I just think we need an athletic big. Sam Maker is playing, but, I mean, I think we can do better than that.
He'll be not, he won't be playing much if they play Jason Smith.
Yeah, that's
Jason Smith doesn't block any shots, so you're not going to get what you want out of him other than the three-point shot.
So, I mean, you know, we've seen what Sam Maker has done in the playoffs the last couple years, but that hasn't really translated to the regular season.
Correct.
I mean, hopefully, you know, he could turn it up, but I mean Brook Lopez is great, but Brook Lopez cannot play against certain centers in the league. So I would just like to see, and I mean, I feel bad for John Henson, because John Henson is finally playing well, finally in the system that fits. And I thought John Henson was the perfect guy to have on this team, but obviously now he's gone. So hopefully we could find somebody that
you can, got somebody. You got somebody. His name's Christian Wood. You got somebody. But that's they don't right. want to play him.
So let me ask you this before we go. So Christian Wood's down in the D League putting up 30-plus and 15-plus. Yep. What do you know? Why isn't he playing?
I'm assuming there's a loyalty to Thon Maker. That's my guess.
Well,
he's friends with Giannis. That's his guy. How can we debate that there's not a loyalty to Thon Maker in this situation? And Christian Wood is a guy that you didn't plan on being on this roster, but he played so well you couldn't not have him on this roster. And now you're shuttling him between the G League and here. I don't even know why. I'll be honest with you. Why do you even bring him back to the roster for anyhow? Just leave him down there. You're shuttling. Oh, he's to the G League. Oh, he's back with Milwaukee. Why are you bringing him back to Milwaukee for? You don't play him anyhow.
That dude deserves to play. And what was encouraging, I watched some highlights from one of the games in the last few nights, and he hit a couple three-pointers. So
yeah, he can hit the three.
That's good to see.
Yeah.
That's good to see.
Yeah, he can hit the three. He showed in the summer. Thanks for the call. Yeah, all man. Right. I mean, he can hit the three. He can block shots. He can get out and run. He can do everything you want to do. Athletic big, you got one. Just play the guy, and let's see what happens. Dude, there's no way. There's no way he's worse than Thon. There's no way. And I like Thon, don't get me wrong, but I'm just being realistic here. He's not going to do any less than Thon Maker. At this point, there's just not a chance that's happening. If anything, he's going to put up better rebound numbers than Thon if given the same amount of time on the floor, and he's probably going to hit more shots than Thon and be definitely more physical around the basket. I'm getting all upset.
Probably, better hands, too.
Yeah, Bucks won, and here I am getting all mad now. But I mean, again, that's what you got to think of. If you're saying, okay, the Bucks aren't the best team in the East, okay, well, then what do they need to be the best team in the East? Like, we got a ton of tweets coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Believe It or Not tweets at 105.7 FM The Fan. I think the Bucks are the team to beat if they can get Christian Wood to the level and be that guy off the bench to run the second team. I didn't even see that tweet before I just went off about it. But there it is on Twitter. Here's another one on Twitter from Jakester23. I wouldn't say that they are the favorites, but I would say they are on the same level as the Raptors and Celtics, who I think will be there by the end of the year. All right, back to more phone calls. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. After the Bucks take care of the Toronto Raptors, 104-99. Steve Sparky Fife from Mayor Mitch. What you got?
Ram, Northside, you're up next on The Fan.
Hey, what's going on, Parky?
What up?
Parky. Hey, I watched the game like you did. I'm going to say this. I ain't throwing shade out, but I've never been a fan of these Sunday games. It's like that odd game on a baseball schedule, and normally it's a rest day in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And
they never used to practice on Sunday with Jason Kidd. Never.
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 But having a game?
Yep.
So I don't. So now, if what happens if this is like a Tuesday night game or a game during the week? And I'm looking at, I don't see Lowry having bad games like this back-to-back. I mean, I just don't. And like you, the caller said, the Bucks had some balls go their way. But, you know, in sports, you know, you got to have some, you know, you got to have some fortune in that way, too. So
I think what's changed in the NBA about Sunday is, because they started the schedule earlier and because they're trying to avoid teams playing back-to-back, that's why there's more Sunday games probably than there's ever been. I don't know if that's fact or not. That would be something we'd have to ask the NBA as far as, are there more Sunday games this year than there has been in the past? Because normally you wouldn't see Sunday games on the schedule until, you know, once football was done, February, March, right, April, right, somewhere in that area. And right now, I mean, like every Sunday seemingly, I'm just going through the schedule. I'm just going Sunday by Sunday, and almost every Sunday there's like six basketball games every Sunday.
Right, right. But I will say this: I don't think we got enough scoring. We need a shooting guard. We need a legit shooting guard that can get 20. I'm not this. We got bigs.
Yeah.
And Sparky, you know, we've been doing this whole big thing for a minute now. Sparky, you and I went back and forth about this when Domantas Sabonis was on the board. The Bucks chose Thon Maker.
Sure did.
I'm gonna leave it at that.
No, you're right. And I was all about the Thon Maker pick at that point, and I don't blame you for being about the Sabonis pick either. Now looking at,
I'm real big on players who dads played in the league.
Sure.
Because they've been around it.
Yep. No, I totally get it.
And foreign players, you're gonna get some like the kid down in Dallas, good. But most of them, it takes them a while to get adjusted just to the physicality of the NBA. But I will say this. I'm not a Middleton fan, and I'm people on my social media know. I just think it's time to move him. I mean, I don't think whatever's happened in the locker room, whatever's going on, and tonight, these last two, three games, he's just not been there.
Nope.
When they really needed him, Sparky.
No, he hasn't. But again, I don't. Thanks for the call, Rand. Look, okay. I said this after the Golden State game. People were getting on him. He didn't play well. And whatever this personal reason is, or whatever the heck happened to have him out the previous game, might be pretty serious. We might not know. It might be affecting him, and that might be why he hasn't played well the last two games. I'm not trying to make excuses for the guy. I'm just saying we don't know the extent of really what happened because they're keeping it under wraps because they don't want to tell anybody. And that's their prerogative. They can do that. And Chris Middleton doesn't have to share his personal life with everybody and their mama. You don't have to do that at all. You can keep it under wraps. That's fine. But that might be playing into it. And I know for sure, based on social media, Chris Middleton is getting hammered on social media by Bucks Twitter. I mean, Bucks Twitter hammers everybody, let's be honest. But, I mean, they are really getting it on with Chris Middleton. And part of the reason is because everybody's hearing the same thing. This dude's going to get $30 million a year or more. And because of that, now everybody's watching him going, this dude ain't worth $30 million a year. You got to be kidding me. I don't want to pay this dude $30 million. But then you hear Paschkin and I talking about, well, they're so happy they saved $18 million to put it back into, you know, Bledsoe, Brogdon, and Middleton. I don't know. I just don't know. I just hope you don't get in a situation. You pay this dude $30-some million, and all of a sudden, he just never gets better. And it is what it is at that point, and you spend all that money on that dude. Because once you pay him, you're pretty much done. It's him, Giannis, and then whatever you can surround him with lesser players that are making $30 million. That's it. So once you commit, you're in. And if you commit and you're in, and then in a couple of years, Giannis is like, yeah, this ain't going to be good enough. Well, then what? Are you going to stick around? I mean, he says he is. We all have to believe he is. But in the back of your head, you got to always be thinking about that. I am. I'm always thinking about it. Always. You can't have this dude leave, man. This can't be a LeBron Cleveland situation. Can't. This needs to be a Kobe LA situation. Starts his career here, finishes his career here. Can't have this dude leave. And did you see the other thing, other article that was out there? Giannis talking about the fact that he had all these invites to go play with all these other dudes, superstars. Nope. Not interested. I'm not trying to be buddy-buddy with you or anything like that. You're my enemy. Okay.
I love it.
I'm fine with it.
Yep.
I got no complaints. None. Because Rami calls me a scaredy cat and everything else. This whole, oh, LeBron can work out with Giannis. I was like, hell no, he's not. No, no, no. I don't need LeBron sweet-talking Giannis. The next thing I know, he's a Laker.
Right.
I don't want that. No, sir. I don't trust LeBron as far as I can throw him when it comes to working out with guys and recruiting guys to come play for him. Why don't you switch to my agent and say, we'll get you a better deal than your agent. No, thank you.
And that's my thing, too, is that, you know, people, you know, on Instagram or other social media accounts trashing Giannis was saying, no wonder that's why you can't shoot. You're not working out. And it's like, if he did work out with those guys, every comment would be, he's going to the Lakers.
He was working out with Kobe. What's wrong with working out with Kobe Bryant?
There you go.
Shut up. I take it out of
here. Did he work out with Dirk, too, or shooting coach?
Nope.
Never did?
I don't think he ever did.
Okay.
Nope. I'm pretty sure he turned that offer down to work out with Sweeney. Pretty sure that's what it was. Now, Sweeney's gone. But I'm pretty sure I got my Bucks coaches. That's who I'm going to work out with, and that's what we're going to do. Let's quickly hit the injury report before we get a quick timeout here.
Who's banged up on the Bucks?
Once I felt I could put weight on it, I was like, I had to get back out there.
This is the McCormick Law Office Milwaukee Injury Report. McCormick Law Office, the back injury attorneys.
Injury report is a good one. Bucks are healthy. How about those apples? Feels good to say that they're healthy. No more John Henson to worry about. Did you see Dellavedova? Did you hear about this? Headline. Dellavedova gets standing ovation in Cleveland return.
I think they announced him as NBA champion, Matthew Dellavedova. And good for him.
Dude, when he walked back into the arena, people were like clapping and saying welcome back. And dude's a hero there. Like,
yes, he is.
I don't care how much they don't want to pay you, Dellavedova. Just stay there the rest of your career and be a king like you are in Australia. Just be there and be good. Don't worry about it. So I'm glad he gets to go back there, and I'm sure he'll get some significant playing time in Cleveland. And the Bucks get the Cavaliers tomorrow night, so you get to cheer on Dellavedova tomorrow night in a Cavaliers uniform. You better not. Bucks 104, Toronto 99. Back after this.
We know you can do that. Giannis Antetokounmpo. You're listening to the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. What play had you screaming? Brought to you by Palermo Screamin' Sicilian Premium Frozen Products and Kraft Pizzas.
$104.99, Steve Sparky, Fiverr, Mayor Mitch. I spent the entire break talking to Mayor Mitch about the Christmas light fight on ABC.
Never heard of it.
Dude, it's so awesome. It is such a great show.
You are very fired up about it. You love it.
Well, I was outside putting Christmas tree lights on my tree in the center island of landscaping that we have. There's two bushes, and then there's this tree in the middle of it.
Do you want to tell the listeners how many Christmas trees you're about to have?
Well, we've talked about this before. So I'll just quickly tell you. So we've got two Christmas trees in our living room. Well, before we do that, let's do the highlight here. Screaming Sicilian Pizza, play of the game. I still have yet to get my deep dish pepperoni pizza, but that's going to occur. I got a couple days off this week, Tuesday and Wednesday, so I think I'm going to get one for lunch one of these days. This is Giannis?
Giannis is dunked to make it 102.99. The Raptors just lose, you know, maybe the best player in the league.
Giannis? Yes, plus he got by Siakam.
That is the right play. I love that he attacked. Yes, there's time left on the clock. Giannis at the rim to put them up three. You take it every single time.
Well, yeah, he was going to attack. There's nobody in front of him. There's nobody there. You dunk it. If he would have pulled that ball out and dribbled, I would have went lost my mind. So good thing he didn't do that. Yeah.
Now, you know, if Jason Kidd was coaching, I wouldn't be surprised.
Like, I have no idea how that even happens. Like, oh, I would have been hot at Siakam for that one. All right. So anyways, the Bucks win 104-99. This Christmas tree thing, though. I've got a green tree, Christmas tree, and we've got a white Christmas tree in our living room, right? We got like this bay window. So we got one on either side of the bay window. And then we've got our black Christmas tree with white lights, our Disney tree.
So two Christmas trees that everyone can see.
Nobody can see it unless you come in the house.
Oh.
Because it's not in front of any windows. None of our trees are in front of windows. So there's two Christmas trees there in the living room. And then there's a Christmas tree in the kitchen. That's our black Christmas tree with white lights. That's our Disney Christmas tree. Last couple of years, we had it in our bedroom. I was like, well, this is stupid. Nobody can enjoy it but us. So we put it down in there. Then I've got a red and white, really thin Christmas tree in our Coca-Cola bathroom, which is off of the kitchen. So that's the one there. Then we've got a gold Christmas tree in the room we're trying to finish in the basement, because that's going to be like our like cinema-themed room or whatever you want to call it, with all of our cinema posters and stuff. Jeez. So that's the gold Christmas tree is down there. And now I think I'm taking home a Christmas tree that I bought for here for a long from a long, long time ago with my own money. And I'm like, you know what? We haven't put it up. It's still sitting over there in the box. It's been sitting here all year long. I'm going to bring it home. I'm going to add it to the living room in front of a window. And then we'll have three Christmas trees in our living room.
Wow.
But I didn't feel so bad because that Christmas light fight, they had 79 Christmas trees in their house, the one family.
Wow.
79 Christmas trees in one house. Now, grant you, that's unhealthy. That's a much larger house than we have, clearly, but still. All right, 104.99. Do you think this Bucks basketball team is the favorite in the East now after this win tonight? 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. We're to Mary Mitch.
Trell, North Side, you're up next on The Fan. What's up, Trell?
What's up, Trell?
What's going on, guys? I'm Sparky. I would say they're close. I still think that they're missing a piece. And I'm hoping that I heard Pat Skeeter and him talking about the trade and how it frees up money to sign the core or whatever. It also gives you flexibility if you want to take on a contract of a player. I never was in the camp to pay Chris Middleton $30 million anyway. But after the situation I had up, they said he had multiple blow-ups with the coaches, not just the Budenholzer. I guess he had blow-ups with other assistant coaches too.
Yeah, that was that's a report that's out there.
Yeah, so if that is true, he's already, I mean, he's going to get paid this offseason. There's no denying that. I just happen not to want the Bucks to pay him $30 million.
Well, I don't think like anybody else.
If we're going to spend $30 million, it better be upper 30s where we're signing a Kevin Durant or something like that. If we got to just, you know, get a player maybe close to his caliber, a little bit under him and pay him, you know, less, I'd rather go for that option because I'm not sold on Chris Middleton all the way as that type of player. He's a really nice player.
But we both agree, somebody's going to pay that dude, whether it's the Knicks or somebody. Somebody's paying that dude.
And that's why the Bucks really have to look themselves in the mirror right now, and they have to tell themselves, listen, he's a hot commodity in the league right now. They can get something for him. There's no doubt about that.
No doubt, yes.
So, therefore.
But do you give up a chance to possibly go to the NBA Finals to trade Middleton?
But, I mean, it depends on the caliber of player you're getting back. I think that's what has to be thought out. Like I said before, Sparky, when I said trading for a player, a future player that you see fitting your team better in the future, but also can help you this year.
Bradley Beal.
I mean, exactly. That's prime. He's the prime suspect right there. But I'm sure there's other players that may be available on the trade market that might fit our team a little better too, and may give us more. Where they're signed for two more years after the summer,
right?
Because you can't take on the chance that we go through the season. Yeah, we had a good run. We don't win it all. Middleton leaves. Now you're scrambling trying to fill Middleton's space in a free agent market.
Yep.
We can't get to that. That's playing with something I don't want to even imagine playing with Giannis coming up in a couple years after this year.
Right. You're playing with fire. You're right.
Yeah.
Yep.
You can't put your franchise in that peril that you're depending on. throwing your chips in one basket to re-sign Chris Middleton and then happen to overpay him at that. I mean, you got to put your – if you trade for Bradley Beal, you're getting the same caliber player, and he signed for two more years
I could be wrong on this, dude, but I just think it's Michael Redd. I think if Milton says, the only way I'm saying is if I get the max, I think they're going to give it to him.
Man, dog, that's
– I'm telling you, I just got a feeling because I don't think they think they can get somebody else to come here and play.
But this is my thing, Sparky. Bradley Beal has two more years.
I know. I know. I'm
if
with
you.
You
get him, you got him through the Giannis years.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? Now you just got to get somebody else, some more players with him. That's the problem.
I'm with you. I hear you. We're not disagreeing on this at all. I'm totally with you. Thanks for the call, Trell. I just think that's where we're headed. I think we're headed down the Michael Redd path. They're going to pay this dude whatever it takes to keep him, and that's what it's going to be. And he's going to be the other guy with Giannis for the foreseeable future. Wolfman tweets at 105.7 FM. The Fan, never get too high, never get too low. We lost to the Suns and beat the Raptors. Just need to be clicking come April. Like, I wouldn't even be surprised to lose to the Cavs tomorrow. We got a long way to go, but tonight showed the potential. We have a finals caliber team. You have a finals caliber team, yes, when you're hitting threes. Correct. Yes. Can you win games without hitting threes? Yes. But you have a finals caliber team when you're hitting threes, especially when Brook Lopez plays like he played tonight. You can talk about all the players on this team you want to. Brook Lopez is about as big of an X factor. Oh, there you go. Go ahead. Hit it. I just said it.
Giannis tracks it down and jams.
There's always something unexpected that changes the game.
It's going to be crazy, man.
Here's tonight's X Factor of the Game. Brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics. Offering athletic scholarships in 9 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com.
All right, so X Factor, I'm going to go with, you can go with Malcolm Brogdon, but just overall, I think it's Brook Lopez, y'all. I'm just telling you right now, when Brook Lopez is feeling it from outside and then has the ability to put the ball on the floor and go to the rim and score, when he's playing
he's been doing that a lot more, yeah.
Correct.
It's been working.
When he does what he did tonight, and if he does that in the playoffs, we have a very difficult team to beat in the Eastern Conference. Now, West, there's teams that are stacked out there, but in the East, they're going to be tough to beat if Brook Lopez plays in the playoffs like he played tonight. That's your X factor for this team, I think, unless something changes roster-wise. But as of right now, he's your X factor. You kind of know what you're going to get from Middleton. You know what you're getting with Giannis. For the most part, Brogdon and Bledsoe are going to balance each other out with scoring. But Brook Lopez, I think, is the X factor all day long on this roster as far as how good they can be. And he's cheap, too. Gotta love that. $104.99 bucks over the Raptors. Mayor Mitch Ross has the details now.
Marcus, it seems to me this has been a decent deflection game.
What defensive play stood out?
Giannis knocks that away from Love right at the rim.
Here's the Laborers Local 113 defensive play of the game. The Laborers Local 113 Milwaukee. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org. This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. Presented by Palermo Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza.
$104.99 bucks over the Toronto Raptors. Defensive play of the game. There were quite a few of them in this one. Mayor Mitch has quite a few plays to pick from, I think, in this game. Now it's just a matter of which one Mayor Mitch decided to go with.
Let's go with Thon Maker, who shows up always against Toronto.
Yep.
Has a block, and it would lead to a Tony Snell triple out in the corner.
CJ Miles should get it out to the perimeter. They do to Valanciunas, then back to him. Great block shot. Here comes Giannis. Pass ahead. Ring it up. Tony Snell, that's how you play out of the defense.
What a big-time block by Thon. That created that. Giannis making the simple play, throwing it ahead. Beautiful play. But Thon, he plays great against the Toronto Raptors.
Everybody knows it. Just where is it the rest of the time? Highlight courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin, Paschke and Novak. I like Novak on the analyst role. What do you think of Novak? I think he's getting really good.
He's getting there, know. I mean, he's probably a little too close from his playing days. So some of his stuff, I mean, he gushes over Giannis, and I think most of us do. Most of us do.
He should.
And I don't think we've played the highlight yet, but there's one in there where he's, oh, man. He's just, oh, man, I love it.
Right. That's all you could do. Yep. That was the dunk where he went right, came back with a Euro step, left, and threw it down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes!
Oh, I love it.
That's all you want. This is the thing, okay? And we've talked about this before. What I like. Now, not everybody likes what I like when it comes to announcers, okay? But when we got home announcers, I want them to be like Hawk and Wimpy for the White Sox for all those years that everybody hated, right? The good guys and the bad guys. That's how they used to do the scores, right? Good guys 5, bad guys 0. Back after this. White Sox, TV network, whatever it was. That's what I like. High, get high with the good times, low with the bad times.
And Ted does that.
Ted does that. And Ted didn't do that when he first got here, but Ted does it now because he's been here forever, right? McLaughlin, that's why I love McLaughlin, because that's what he was all about at the end of the day. And I always talk about Wayne Larrivee when he got there with the Packers. Man, oh man, you'd run to your garage and it was a Lions score. It wasn't even the damn Packers. He'd be screaming and yelling. Like, dude, you're killing me. You can't do a national call when you're a home guy for the Packers. Now, that doesn't happen anymore.
And you had that with Gus Johnson recently.
That's right. And he's gone now. You know, let's not bring that up.
Most people are in agreement. We're okay. You know, nothing against Gus.
He just didn't know how to be a home announcer.
He just, you know, didn't care about the Bucs.
He wasn't a home announcer, and this was just a part-time gig for him. And so be it. It's fine. He's better off being a national guy. You know, Gus is very good as an announcer. I'm just saying what I like, he didn't necessarily fulfill that. 104.99 Bucks over the Toronto Raptors tonight. Let's hear from the Bucks head coach.
Let's hear from the head coach. This segment is sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time. Visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, Coach Budenholzer, after a big, big victory for the Bucks in Toronto against the Raptors, 104.99, this is courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin.
Go on the road and play, a top team in our conference and have it go down to the wire and find a way to win. It's a great win for the team. A lot of guys made plays down the stretch. Obviously, Malcolm made a couple big shots, but Chris to get him the ball. Just in general, I thought the way we got stops on one end and shared it and got good open threes on the other. And the bench, I thought, was big for us, their stretches. So just a good win for us.
No,
those guys off the bench gave us great minutes. Sterling gave us some long stretches, and his activity in the first half coming across as that bottom weak side guy, and the on blocking shots, and making a three, making some free throws. I thought the bench was really good for us.
Late in that game, Giannis had Kawhi for a little bit, kept getting caught on that ball screen up at the top, and then you switch Middleton out. Just what did Chris do to Kawhi late in that game?
I thought Chris guarded him a lot the whole game. So I think there is a little bit of a thing in rhythm defensively. I think there was, Chris kind of knew what he was doing. And it also allows us to maybe free Giannis up to be a little bit of a free safety on the back end of our defense. So get more aggressive. We were able to get enough stops and a turnover. Everybody, but Chris in particular, was really good. Kawhi's such a tough cover. Yeah, when you trust each other and you trust your teammates and everybody's sharing it, everybody's participating, it just happened to be that Malcolm ended up with it twice, but could have been anybody. Loved the unselfishness and trust with the game on the line.
What do you think of Bledsoe on Lowry again? Two times you played him, Lowry's really
struggled. Yeah, I mean, Bled's such a good defender. I think he really cherishes, guarding the best point guards, and certainly Kyle is one of those guys. And it might have been a little bit of an off night for Kyle too. But certainly Bled's attention and effort was very good.
Coach, bearing in mind where we are in the season and the circumstances of the two meetings you have with this team, is there any significance to the fact that you're the first team to beat Toronto twice this season? Take any pride in that?
Not really. As you said in your question, it's very early. It's December. One game Kawhi and Giannis didn't play, but it's certainly good to come on the road and win in a tough environment. So we just got to keep building off this.
Does guaranteeing at least a split of the head-to-head matchup with them mean something though to have it already in hand this early season?
I don't know. You guys are in charge of thinking of that stuff. So When we get later in the season, maybe it'll mean something more. But I think we're just building, trying to get better.
Obviously, Ibaka made a bunch of threes, and he was getting open on those pick and pops. Was it part of the game plan to try and, you know, double the ball handle and let him go a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, their guards command so much attention, especially, you know, Kawhi and Kyle Lowry. So sometimes you got to pick your poison, and Ibaka can shake free for some, and certainly he's a great shooter, and you know, you're kind of nervous every time he's going up, but you know, that's part of the game, and you know, I liked our focus on Kawhi and Kyle.
What do you feel like the difference was between the first quarter defensively and then the final third quarter?
I think we just got a little more aggressive. You know, I think maybe got into just understanding, you know, what they were trying to get to in their spots, and you know, and again, I thought the bench was good. I thought, you know, they kind of changed the momentum a little bit. I think the start of the second quarter, they went on a nice run. And from there, it was just, you know, kind of an even game. But I thought the bench was really good.
Yeah, obviously, two new guys didn't play at all. Was that just a function of them being so new?
Yeah, a lot of it. You know, I mean, they haven't even had a shoot around or a practice or anything. So, you know, and tomorrow we probably won't have a shoot around either. So we'll find a way to get George and Jason some time tomorrow morning and just start, you know, kind of getting them familiar with our terminology and defensive schemes and offensive stuff. So we're definitely looking forward to them helping us.
Is there anything you can do to try to prevent a letdown in a back-to-back? You get this big win against Toronto. You have a lesser team at home. But is there any way to try to prevent against that?
You know, I mean, there's just a professionalism that we hope to have from our guys. I think they hold each other accountable. They have high expectations. You know, they don't want to let each other down. So and we don't want to let it, you know, just in general have any letdown. So I'm confident in our guys.
Into the Bucks locker room to hear what the players saw on the court. Sponsored by Precision Sports, specializing in the delivery, installation, removal, and repair of basketball hoops, exercise equipment, game tables, and backyard playgrounds. Go to precisionsportsonline.com.
104.99 Bucks over the Toronto Raptors tonight. Time now to go inside the locker room. Once again, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. This time they talked to the president, Malcolm Brogdon, who had two huge threes at the end of this one before the Giannis dunk that helped the Bucks win this game.
You know, I think all of us trust Chris and Giannis to make plays for us. We just got to be ready to shoot the ball.
Now you guys get a win here on the road in Toronto, a hostile environment, top team in the East. What does that say about your team being able to bounce back after what happened on Friday night at home?
We're a really good team this year. We have confidence in ourselves. We're resilient. We got a coach that has confidence in us every night, win or lose. So we come out here and try to play our best basketball.
And there he is, Malcolm Brogdon from earlier tonight on Fox Sports Wisconsin. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back, give you the Chili's MVB, and need to know for Chuck and Winkler tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. They're back on the air. I'm sure they'll be talking a lot of Packers on a green and gold Monday, but they'll also do the Chili's MVB about the Bucks-Raptors game tonight. Matt Velasquez from the Journal Sentinel, he's at the Air Canada Center. We'll hear from him, too. And we'll look ahead to the Cavaliers game tomorrow night. That's coming up next. Bucks win 104-99.
Hey, Bucks fans. Let's get tonight's Chili's MVB. Be the first to know this standout player tomorrow morning at 8:35 during Chuck and Winkler to win free food from Chili's. Chili's is back, baby. Back!
Bucks over the Raptors, 104-99. Chili's MVB, you'll need to know for Chuck and Winkler tomorrow morning. Malcolm Brogdon. Two big threes late, 18 points, couple of boards, couple of assists, 3 of 5 from three. Malcolm Brogdon, your Chili's MVP.
This guy's on the inside. After every game, listen to the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show for the latest from JS Online's Matt Velasquez. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola. This is Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
104.99, Bucks over the Raptors joining us now. Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Matt, thanks for coming on, buddy.
Absolutely. Glad to be talking with you, Sparky.
Did it have a playoff atmosphere inside the arena as far as the crowd goes and everything, or no?
Oh, no doubt. The Raptors always have a great crowd. They have a big building. They had almost 20,000 in here, and it was loud. It was fun. It was a, you know, exciting game. Definitely playoff atmosphere.
It was interesting to me hear Steve Kerr the other night, and we didn't get a chance to get to it on the postgame show, but Steve Kerr the other night talking about how
Golden State treated this like a big game when they played the Bucks because they thought this was a team they might see in the postseason, which means he thinks they could see the Bucks in the NBA Finals. And now tonight you start talking and hearing people saying Eastern Conference Finals preview for the Milwaukee Bucks. Are you down with all the hype in the last couple of days around this team, even though they've never won a playoff series in like 100 years?
Yeah, well, I think you make a very good point that before anyone gets to the Eastern Conference Finals, you have to, you know, go through at least two rounds first, if my math's correct.
Yep.
You know, the Bucks have to prove that they can win a playoff series. But, I mean, when you look at the standings, you know, it's Toronto and Milwaukee at the top of the Eastern Conference standings. The Bucks have beaten the Raptors twice, albeit one time without Kawhi Leonard, Fred VanVleet, and OG Anunoby. And they've been really competitive. They've beaten Sixers. You know, they've beaten, you know, the top teams in the East. So they definitely deserve to be in the conversation. You know, we'll get there at some point in terms of talking about the playoffs. But, you know, regardless, tonight on its own was a big win just to set up, you know, the next game and keep the Bucks going. And bouncing back, they're 8-0 when coming off a loss. So it was definitely a good win for them.
I said earlier in the show that the X factor on this team as far as how far they're going to go in the playoffs, I think, is Brook Lopez. And when this guy's hitting threes and then able to put the ball on the floor when guys chase out him at the three-point line and able to finish, this team is much, much better than when Brook Lopez isn't hitting the three-point shot. You know what Middleton's going to give you for most part in the playoffs. Same with Bledsoe and Brogdon. They'll balance each other out, depending on good versus bad. And Giannis is Giannis, but I think Brook Lopez really is going to be the X factor for this team as far as how far they can go.
Yeah, and I think part of Brook's impact, too, is, you know, he doesn't create necessarily for himself. Granted, he does have those drives when he kind of pump fake guys off the three-point line, but he's not, you know, getting the ball, bringing the ball up. He's waiting for guys to kick out to him. And, you know, you saw the unselfishness that the Bucks played with today, especially down the stretch. You know, and Malcolm Brogdon in the locker room was saying, hey, I'm going to get the glory for the shots that I made there. But Chris Middleton, he's the one who made both of those plays happen by driving baseline and kicking it out to him and pulling all the attention and then making the extra pass and trusting Brogdon. And Brogdon said that, you know, he's in a similar situation to Lopez in certain respects as, you know, quote-unquote role guys on the team. But he said, you know, seeing guys like Middleton give up the ball and trust them with shots is huge for their confidence. And just for the general team synergy. And so if you have guys who are moving the ball and willing to share it and willing to let whoever gets the best look shoot, you know, and sometimes that's Lopez, and I was definitely Lopez a bunch of times, but that all bodes well for the Bucks.
And that's clear as day because Giannis barely touched the ball in the last 4 minutes of the basketball game.
Yeah, I mean, the Raptors were doing a really good job of kind of shutting him down and setting him a lot of guys and, you know, making things hard for him. They were putting smaller guys on him. You know, and those guys bowed up and did a good job of handling that, and they were trying to cut into passing lanes. And, you know, but Giannis did get the ball at a key moment, up 199 when he caught the ball at the three-point line and drove for a dunk to put him up three. I mean, that was a huge moment, especially after having to take two timeouts just to get the ball into a position where they could do something.
How did Siakam lose him? For the love of God, how do you lose Giannis like that and have to reach back for him? That I don't know how that happens.
No, you can't let that happen in that moment. You can't give Giannis that kind of space, and, you know, he paid the price for it.
Yep, no question about that. One last thing for you before I let you go. Middleton is under fire big time by Bucks Twitter. I'm sure you've seen it yourself. We don't know what the personal issue was from the Knicks game. Obviously, I am saying on the air that I'm not going to blast Middleton for a couple of games where maybe he didn't play his best because we don't know how bad the personal issue was one way or the other. I said it's his prerogative. He doesn't have to tell anybody what it was one way or the other. Do you think we'll ever find out what's going on with Middleton?
I think maybe at some point. I mean, I haven't found out. If I knew, I'd gladly share it.
Right.
You know, that's my job. But, you know, I think that, you know, he had obviously a personal issue. From everything I've heard, it's totally not basketball related. It's something outside of basketball. You know, and obviously having not touched the ball for like 2 days on Friday, he was kind of rusty on offense, but he did, you know, do yeoman's work on Kevin Durant, you know, mostly on his watch, with Durant going 3 of 14. And then tonight, Middleton spent a lot of the game on Kawhi, and I, you know, in general got a lot of praise for his effort. A little bit of a slump right now, but defensively, you know, he's bringing the effort, which that was the biggest issue in the Knicks game.
Right.
He wasn't bringing that effort. So the fact that he's back to doing that and doing it against two of the best players in the NBA, That's definitely a mark in his favor.
He is Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Joins us for each and every postgame show throughout the year. Matt, thanks so much.
All right, you bet, Sparky.
Take care. Bucks win 104-99 over the Toronto Raptors. Time to look ahead to the Cavaliers.
What about the next game? What do you expect from this team now? Time for some forward thinking. Sponsored by Forward Financial Partners. Moving forward together. Find your way at ffpwi.com.
All right, time now to look at the Cavaliers. They come up with a victory last night, 116-101, 6-20 on the year are the Cavaliers. And, God, that Wizards team. Oof. They shoot 52.8% last night in that one. Their rookie, Sexton, you know, he came under fire earlier in the year, the kid from Alabama. He played well last night, 29 points on 13 of 23 shooting. Tristan Thompson, another good game, 23 and 19 for him. They had six guys in double figures. Larry Nance Jr. off the bench. He had a nice game with 13 points, seven boards, seven assists in that game. Jalen Jones also in double figures as well, the kid from Texas A&M. Cavaliers team can score now. I mean, especially when they're shooting the ball well and playing well. Alex Burks playing off the ball next to Colin Sexton. It'll be interesting to see how Bledsoe and Brogdon deal with Colin Sexton tomorrow night. Anthony Mandela hosting the show tomorrow night after Bucks and Cavaliers. All right, that'll do it for the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops post-game show tonight. Presented to you by Screaming Sicilian Frozen Pizza. Buy that at Pick and Save. I'm telling you, you're not going to... That pizza is so heavy when you get it because there's so much stuff on it. And it's so, so good. Mary Mitch Ross, nicely done tonight.
Thank you, sir.
Glad to see you survive another night. If they lose to the Cavaliers tomorrow night, well, you won't be here. So if something happens at your house.
So I'm always prepared for a loss. So
see,
I survived losses.
That really sums up Bucks fans, doesn't it? I mean, that really just sums it all up at this point. Bucks win 104-99. Enjoy the rest of your night. CBS Sports Radio. Chuck and Winkler start a Green and Gold Monday tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Toodles!